we are going to be talking right now about COVID case numbers. They are higher in Itasca County than they were a year ago. Kelly Chandler is a division manager for Itasca County Public Health. We're learning today about the increasing rates of the spread of COVID throughout the county, that and the crisis of local health care. Kelly, welcome. How are you? Oh my gosh.
Yes, thank you for having me. Yeah, it's been quite a couple of years for sure for all of us.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about, there was a press conference yesterday where I learned a lot, but let's talk about where are we at right now? Because I know I saw you on some statewide news services. Itasca County is in a crisis right now.
Yeah, we are. And we have been on and off throughout the pandemic. But a week ago today, I had some healthcare providers reaching out to me that were just so concerned about the lack of emergency room, ICU, critical care beds, and really wanted our assistance in raising some awareness. And I would say mission accomplished. We did some joint media releases and have had lots of interviews with like Grand Itasca and had some statements out of Big Fork Valley talking about how patient care is right now. And our healthcare providers, I mean, they are so dedicated and they're amazing, but they are tired. And they're stressed and they're having to, you know, make some decisions about care that they just really don't want to do. And so we really want our community members to have an awareness of this. And it's not all COVID. And, you know, I think sometimes the bigger perspective can get lost. But, you know, it's heart attacks, it's accidents, it's broken arms, it's all of those things that are affecting our healthcare right now, and they're having to provide care in overflow rooms, and people that need critical care aren't necessarily getting transferred to places that they need to be. And so we just really want our community members to be aware of this and to do what they can to slow the spread of COVID, especially during hunting season and the holidays coming up. When we talk about our numbers compared to last year, we peaked right around Thanksgiving, little after, at a 14-day case rate of 129.9.
What does that mean?
So it's the number of positive cases in a two-week period with a rate of per 10,000. So we have 45,000 plus people in Itasca. So we ratio that out to be able to compare our county compared to like a metro or, you know, some of our other smaller counties. It's just a way to compare per capita.
Okay.
When we're doing rates, we oftentimes do that so we can have somewhat of an apples to apples type of comparison. But we're sitting at 143.7. So we have surpassed our highest numbers in 2020. And, you know, at that time we had statewide mask mandates. And at this time, you know, restaurants, bars had some limitations put on them. And it was pretty much 3 weeks after that happened that we finally started seeing that go down. And we're not going to have that this year. So we really, it's up to us to...
Why aren't we going to have that this year?
The governor doesn't have the same amount of executive powers that he did last year. And that all happened at the same time at the end of the last legislative session when they were trying to pass a budget bill, and there was some language put in about executive powers, and so that just isn't an option statewide this year. And so it's up to locals to either take on mandates or that we just step up and do what we need to do to help out.
So yeah. Schools, like, let's use Grand Rapids, for example. Grand Rapids can make the decisions they want. We can make decisions we want about how to go to a restaurant. And okay.
Yeah, we can do that locally. We can make those decisions on our own, or our local leaders could make some decisions with that. Us as citizens and residents who care about our health care and care about our capacity can make those decisions on our own.
Yeah.
Well, so let's talk a little bit about the health care providers you mentioned were in this press conference yesterday and the struggle they're seeing. Kimberly Powell was part of this. Tell us about her, and then we're going to listen to a little bit from yesterday.
Yeah, so Kimberly is a school nurse up in Big Fork, and she also works on her off school days, works in the emergency room up at Big Fork Valley, and she really had some great information to tell, although very sad information.
Let's take a listen.
From my school lens, we are not seeing great vaccine uptake, despite really a lot of information and efforts. It's a very low percentage of kids. Grand Itasca helped sponsor a clinic that one person signed up for last fall for us when they had the Pfizer vac. Now we have it available at Scenic Rivers Big Fork. We are having, in the lower elementary, we are starting to see, I think, really honestly, the result of parents who just want to keep their kids in school. They've seen now some of us who have been vaccinated for 9-10 months, and they're starting to trust it more and believe it more. And, you know, so there are trickling numbers of kids getting vaccinated, but that's going to be the hill we climb. I think the uptake is, and in fact, my flu vaccines dropped way off this year too. Just, you know, it just has gotten divisive. So we just have to keep working on an individual basis and talk to your doctor. If you have ever trusted your physician to care for you, to keep you alive, to take care of the people you love, offer them the dignity of a conversation. Even if you are afraid you're not going to hear what you want to hear, at least visit with your physician. They will listen. Trust me, they will listen.
Kimberly Powell from Big Fork School, the school nurse there. She also is a RN at Big Fork Valley Hospitals, telling us there how critical this moment is in our community health.
Yeah, it is. Big Fork, just for example, they haven't had to keep as many COVID patients throughout the pandemic within their facility, and they have had to recently too, because we do typically transfer them out to a higher level of care, and they've had them in-house too. And we're seeing that across rural Minnesota, where patients that they typically would triage out to different facilities for a variety of reasons are needing to stay local.
Okay.
So let's circle back to somebody having a broken arm or a heart attack and things like that. What happens to them? What's that look like?
Well, they certainly do get treatment.
Right.
But your treatment may not be as quickly as you like. I mean, imagine if you have a broken arm and you're in pain, you just might not get treated as quickly as someone who maybe is having a heart attack, so to speak, at the same time. They have to deal with the most critical patients first, and they will treat you. I mean, our healthcare providers aren't going to turn you away, but it just might not be quick, and it might not be in the ER. It might be in an overflow. It might be, out in the hallway or in some other type of overflow room.
Sometimes I think we just try and not think about that, and we need to think about that as citizens, about what is actually going on. And you mentioned nurses and stuff. I mean, they just don't get enough credit for what they do, nurses and doctors. And just think of and they're under stress. I mean, just think of the pressure they must have, like, I'm not going to do this anymore. Then they have this ethical responsibility that they're letting people down, and Must be horrific.
Yeah. It's definitely a push-pull. I mean, I'd be surprised if there's a healthcare worker that didn't think after the last year and a half, 2 years, thinking, is this what I want to do? But really, when you get into this field, you also do have that. But yeah, there probably are some that have left and just said, I'm not doing this anymore. That probably is very true.
What's going on in our schools?
Our cases with 18 and under are right around 23-24%. They've been as high as 39% since school started. All the districts are in person. They've mostly, they're not all exactly the same, but they've mostly settled on some numbers of when they're going to mask, when they're going to send a classroom home. And the decisions have kind of been made on a classroom basis, on like a building basis, depending on what they're seeing within their schools. It depends on their staffing. Again, there's some variety, but as Kimberly mentioned, parents want their kids in school and kids want to be in school. And so that's what the school districts are working so hard to maintain. And on either side of it, whether you are strongly against masking or whether you are strongly for masking and want your The message that is coming to us pretty clearly is everybody wants their kids in school. regardless of what side you're on. And that's what they're working really hard to do. But they have to keep safety in mind for their staff, for those who may have other health risks that are more vulnerable. So they're making those decisions, not necessarily at a kind of a global level. They're making them more classroom building, case by case.
It's Kelly Chandler from Itasca County Public Health. How about vaccine clinics for kids as well as booster clinics? You guys are putting those things on. Are people coming?
So we started offering booster clinics this week, and we wanted to get through our majority of influenza clinics, and both of our clinics filled. And Big Fork has mentioned they're giving a lot of boosters. Our clinics and pharmacies are as well. So, we encourage you to reach out if you're eligible for a booster. You can get into a pharmacy, you can get into a clinic, and then public health. Our next booster clinic is December 1st. Our registration is on the website, so we encourage you to get in. And yes, people are coming in for boosters. For our 5 to 11-year-olds, the places that are offering include Scenic Rivers, Essentia Health, Grand Itasca Clinic and Hospital, Thrifty White, both locations, so the Super One and the Culver's, and Walmart. They are all offering the Pfizer. We've had, there's been some successful clinics held at two of our largest elementary schools, and Grand Itasca was sponsoring those. They gave over 100 the first clinic, and then I haven't checked on what the uptick was this week for their second elementary. I wouldn't say it's fast and furious. I don't think anyone would say it's fast and furious, but there are folks getting in, and we'll continue to promote it and encourage it. Because we need to slow this spread, and vaccine breakthrough cases, it's such a hot topic. Lots of opinions on it, but really we're still sitting at 3% of those who have been fully vaccinated. So we're talking 23,700 plus Itasca County residents. Of those who have tested positive, it's still 3%.
So what do you say? I'm sorry, Heidi, what do you say to somebody that has got their booster and say, if I got my booster, I don't need my flu shot?
Oh, they're separate viruses. And influenza has been in Minnesota already. It's actually been detected in Itasca County already. We've had two Minnesotans as of last week that have already died from influenza. So, yes, you need them both. They're not the same virus. So, yes, we want you to get both.
And we talked about boosters for adults, but that's not to say you can still get your first vaccine and get it going. If you have not yet gotten your vaccine, you know, you didn't miss the boat. We need you to do that. I know, Kelly, at the end of the press conference yesterday, you talked about something that you had heard from someone. Sometimes the stories of people who maybe didn't get the vaccine and ended up being really sick, those are the ones that have a huge impact. Last week, we talked to a reporter from Brainerd who had covered the story of one of their county commissioners who almost died, was in ICU for a long time, and he has changed his tune on how he's going to govern from now on, which I thought was so important. But you heard from someone who was treated, who was sick and was treated well by the healthcare. That must have just lifted your spirits, and kind of tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So it's someone who didn't want to come out and speak directly and didn't want their name mentioned. But we have had those stories told, and it's scary. And that's kind of overwhelming. They're going into this healthcare system and they have COVID and they don't know what the outcome is going to be. And but so thankful for the care they received, and they did recover, thankfully. And there are those stories out there, and folks are hesitant to tell them. I applaud the commissioner from I believe it's Crow Wing County, who came out and told his story. I really applaud him, and that's what we need to hear. For those who maybe have a different thought process on this virus, it is so real. And if you don't know somebody who was affected by it, you may think that, but there are a lot of those stories to tell. Yeah. And it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter what age you are. We don't know who's going to be negatively affected.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Before we go, find it sometimes to think back over the last couple of years and how we were at the beginning of this. I think people really wanted to lift up the healthcare community. And now here we are a couple of years in. What is the best thing we could do right now to help our healthcare workers?
They spoke about it yesterday, and giving them shout outs is certainly great, but what they want is for our folks to mask, to stay safe, to get their vaccines. That is what they're asking for, is that we are staying safe. We are slowing the spread. That is the best thing you can do to help out what they are dealing with right now.
Well, Kelly, if you'd like to strike something,
yes,
that would be fun. You
go.
Get to do that twice.
Yeah, nope, three times.
You get to hit it as hard as you want. Yes. Just let her go, whatever you want to do. Three of them.
Yep.
All right.
Kelly.
That's a lot louder than I thought it would be.
When your
thanks,
foot
Kelly, and thanks to you, too, for always keeping us updated, for your membership. It's so appreciated. We heard from renewing member from Marina Del Rey, California, Janet Murray. Thank you so much. She's grabbing one of the Egret totes as her thank you gift. We can't thank you enough for that.
And we heard from Doug and Therese Johnson. They are renewing and becoming sustainers, and the Friday morning is the highlight of their week. Also, green cheese, they put it on their credit card, they're good to go, they're taking a tote bag. And then,
you've been able
to peruse that one a little bit before me.
We got sustaining members, Sam and Heather O'Brien and Clementine Locke and Elsbeth. That's their kids.
Okay. So you can understand how I got a little bit confused.
From Cook. Thanks, you guys.
All right.
They're going to get the brand new tote bag, and we thank you so, so much for doing that. You don't know how much that helps us. We're keeping it going today. We'll be joining Women in Music in Progress at 10 o'clock. It's Barry Lyons. Keep the phone calls coming.
Yeah, 800-662-5799. If we were to connect the dots for everybody that pledged this morning, it would be definitely a psychedelic image. It's all over. Abstract, perhaps. Yeah.
You are listening to Northern Community Radio. We're 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, Aiken, Hibbing, and Virginia. 90.5 KBXE Bagley, Bemidji, Walker, Park Rapids. In Brainerd, in Nisswa, and Fort Ripley, you can hear us at 89.9. Or everywhere else, like in Marina Del Rey, California, at KAXE.org. Or tell your smart speaker. KAXE.org, that is the number. That is the address to become a member online as well. We connect you to Northern Minnesota. I just